This is the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May this timeless message bless you today. And remember, a life on fire is a life well spent.
Good evening, everybody. I wanted to talk. I did it in Central Oregon with a group similar to this. I did a little quickie study for just two messages on Abraham and Lot. And I just, you know, I thought, well, 2 days, I think two sessions. But as I've been studying it some more and expanding a little bit, I found that there's so much about Abraham in particular, but also Lot. I've done teaching on Abraham before. But the combination of Lot and Abraham was a really exciting concept. They were both from the same family. Lot was adopted by Abraham because his father had died and he was his uncle. And so he adopted him. So I figured that Lot knew what God said to Abraham about leaving his old land and going to what is now called the Promised Land. Lot traveled with Abraham, being his nephew. Lot became rich, just like Abraham, and we look into some of those things that were going on in their life. But then their ways parted at a certain point. Lot went in one direction, and Abraham continued in the right direction. And when you look at the choices that people have to make, the consequences of those choices, and the legacy that we leave behind, I thought that would be a theme for us to think about this weekend. All of us have choices in life, and we may come from time to time. Sometimes we do the wrong choice, we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and we keep going again. But the choices we make lead to consequences, and the consequences is the legacy that we leave behind for our children and our grandchildren. So it's an intriguing study, and I think it should be really exciting and possibly very meaningful, I pray, to your lives. But I'll read just two little sections so as to get your mind going for when you come in the morning. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 12 about Abraham and Lot. Very, very briefly, very succinct. It says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." So that's the first lesson, the first reading. The second one I'm going to do is chapter 13, about the separation between Lot and Abram. I thought that would be something to get in your head before you go to sleep tonight. Abraham had drifted into Egypt. Abraham was a great man, a man of faith. God calls him Abraham, my friend. And in Isaiah, it's repeated, Abraham, your friend. And then in the book of James in the New Testament, it says, Abraham, God's friend. So he was God's friend, but he wasn't perfect. He was the father of all believers, but he made his mistakes, just like we make. And one of the mistakes he made was that God brought him into the land of Canaan. And then when there was a famine, he kept walking on. And he crossed over into Egypt, which he was not supposed to do. And you remember he paid a steep price for that. We won't get into all the details, though most of you know it. But he drifted into Egypt, and you remember that he was such a tough guy that he said to his wife, "Now you're a beautiful woman." She was 90 years old. 90, not 19. 90. 90 years old. "You're a beautiful woman. So tell them you're my sister." He's a real macho man, you know. "Tell them you're my sister so that they won't kill me so as to take you." I mean, it wasn't the most glorious moment in the life of Abraham when he puts his wife at risk so as to save his own skin. But perhaps some of us have done similar things because we're all a bunch of chickens. Nevertheless, Abraham was rebuked by a pagan. He returned back to the Holy Land. And here comes the story where we could pick it up. Abraham went from Egypt to the Negev, which is southern Israel, and with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, we're switching to Lot now, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land couldn't support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the Canaanites and the Perizzites who were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. And then to close the reading off, Abram lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived in the cities of the plain and pitched his tents towards Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone would count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tent and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Okay, that's the reading for tonight. But I also was going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, but I'll pass. I'll do it in the morning. Because the idea that we have is this. We live in amazing times again. Some of us who've lived for a few years, we remember when the communists were in power in the Soviet Union. I remember when somebody treacherously gave the secrets of the atomic bomb that America had to some guys in the Soviet Union, and the Soviets tested their first bomb. I remember when Khrushchev came to the United Nations and banged his shoe in a real show of class on the desk and said to the Americans, "We will bury you." I remember when John Kennedy told them that Cuba was going to be surrounded by American ships, and any ship that tried to go by, they would destroy them. Those were heavy days. So there's dangerous times all the time in this fallen world. And when you look at history, you know that life has always been trouble. The few little moments of peace and quiet, enjoy it, because for sure trouble will come. Either people create it or the devil who loves to create trouble will do it. He couldn't stand the joy in the Garden of Eden, and he tempts the woman, and here we go, trouble began. And then when the church was founded, you would have thought that now they were going to have peace, and sure enough, was it Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the apostles about the land that they sold. And so sure enough, Satan urges them to cheat, and they lie, and they both die. Wow, there wasn't even peace after the Holy Spirit had come down. This is a fallen world, and so we face all sorts of troubles and potential troubles, and the Bible gives us solid evidence of how God is our rock. And in the midst of the storms of life, He is the rock. And if we stand on the rock and we build on the rock and so on, yes, we'll go through troubles, but it won't topple us. And I think the verse that is on my mind, I have a whole set of all the passages, or most of the passages that the Bible calls the rock, my rock, our rock, etc., is that we build our house on the rock, and the rains will come and the storms will blow, but the house will stand because it's built on the rock. And the rock, in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says, "And the rock was Christ." So if we want to be able to face the storms of life, and I believe everybody in this room knows Jesus Christ, we must remember that it's building on the rock that makes the difference. Doing good works is valuable. Helping the poor is part of our living. Trying to help the victims of AIDS in Africa, thousands of Christians are doing that. Helping people with their physical, medical needs, missionaries have been doing it for hundreds of years, and all that. But in the end, you've got to build on the rock. Amen? And the rock is Christ, huh? Jesus Christ is the rock.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this, the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.